If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Dawn? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Sheffield in Focus is a magazine show that's of particular interest to people with low or no vision. We have guests,
library services,
what's on at the pictures,
theatre,
gossip,
events, general knowledge quiz,
poems,
and stories. Tune in Tuesdays 3 while 5 on 93.2 FM.
That's Sheffield in Focus.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time, the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane, every other Thursday.
I love the green room, just for, like, acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Call me by
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have Brad Mitchell, my cousin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, mate? Are you good?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you been? What have you been up to lately?
I've been very busy with the music industry, just getting everything in play, getting some gigs booked, practicing a lot of drums. Just all that.
Very nice. So, I've got to talk about, because we're going to talk about upcoming projects. So,
Yes. You
have a Queen tribute band, is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, tell us a bit about Queen tribute. I mean, how did that start?
It started way back when the previous management started it in London. And, it was... But the way that I got involved in it was I was in another band. I was in a Motown tribute band, and I saw that this band, the Queen tribute, I thought, well, that looks a load of fun, Motown's great, but it's a little bit boring on drums, and Queen's Queen's a lot better. There's a load of fills, there's singing involved as well. And it's just progressed from there, and now I run the band, 6-7 years later after starting it, so yeah.
So, I mean, I've got to ask, so which part do you play? I mean, and obviously you said you play the drums.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you play Roger Taylor, is that
right? Roger Taylor, absolutely. And what a magnificent drummer, he was. I know he still plays, but, he can't really play anymore because, injuries, whatever, from...
But say that, he still is one of the greatest drummers there is.
And don't forget his vocal.
Definitely.
That's what sets him apart for me, that is incredible, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos, anybody listening, or Chris, of him in the studio where they were actually tracking the backing vocals for Bohemian Rhapsody and things like that. It's incredible, the notes that he performed.
Yeah, I remember, I did watch a video where they made One Vision, actually.
How was that?
And we were talking about, Freddie Mercury was telling him how to do the drumming on that. And it seems so complicated because, this is how ignorant I am. I thought it was just a case of just beating it as loud as I can, I didn't realise there's like a rhythm to it,
Yeah, there's. I think that's the thing. I mean, somebody said to me the other day, how do you even learn the drums?
Yeah.
And I thought I didn't even comprehend that was even someone could even think that, because to me it just makes sense. I think that is a part of it. It has to make sense to you in some way. You can learn from without any previous experience at all.
Yeah.
Like, don't let that put you off. But there is a certain rhythm aspect to it that. Makes it easier. And the hardest things in drumming are playing slowly, playing quietly.
Yeah.
The easiest thing to do is play fast and loud. That's easy. That's what you. That's beginner drumming. That's what you when you learn to be a band player.
Yes.
You learn you have to be a part of the music. It's not just.
Of course.
Hit this as hard as you can.
But when I watch, when you listen to the tracks itself. I mean, like when. They actually releasing that.
Yeah.
We don't realise, you just think that they're either going fastly or going slowly. Mm. You obviously don't know the kind of work that you've got to put in. And I've got to ask, Brad, as a drummer yourself, how long did it take you to work the drums?
As I say, I had a big advantage that when I sat behind the drums, I could kind of play a very simple... I don't know what it was like now, it was probably quite poor, but I put a lot of effort in the bedroom on the electric kit, for a couple of years before I got lessons from Tony Kennelly, God rest his soul, in my opinion, the best drum teacher in Sheffield to have ever been, and unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But he accelerated my learning so much, and I was probably 13 at the time, and I got my first professional job when I was 17. So really, it took me about 4 years to hone my profession to the point where I could do it for a living.
And if I remember correctly, was that at the Red Tape Studios? Is that right?
Red Tape Studios is where I learned. I actually went to Red Tape Studios after school.
Right.
I was 17 at the time. I got the job during that, but it wasn't anything to do with Red Tape. But if I had not studied that course, I don't think I would have got the job, because there were certain things, coiling cables up. What's an XLR? What's a jack cable? I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known that before I would have done that course. I would have looked like an idiot getting to this band, and I didn't even know what an amp was and what. I knew how to play the drums, but I didn't know anything else. That enabled me,
And I've got to ask, I mean, what was your first ever job when you were accelerated as a drum? What was your first gig?
It was the Motown. It was the Motown. Motown gig, yeah. And it's a fairly simple gig, but there is a lot of feel involved. So you've got to be you've got to know how to make those drums groove. Because it's about dancing. It's just about having a great time. You know, it's not like big riffs, and you know, it's very controlled. As I was saying, it's very quiet. You know, you've got to play controlled. So it was a big wake up call to a rock drummer, going, oh, I have to. You know, I don't want to be noticed in this band. I need to be backstage, you know, just keeping the band going, nice and solid.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
and I've got to ask as well. I mean, we talked about your first gig. So, what current projects are you doing right now? So, tell us about what you're doing right now.
So, at the moment, obviously, this is the Queen tribute.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk more about in a bit. And there's also a Diana Ross tribute, which is a really big deal to me. So obviously, quite a bit of a stuff is Motown, soul-based stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know what I'm doing with that. But also, if you know Diana Ross, she did a lot of stuff solo as well. So this band is going to be a big 9-10 piece band. You know, we're going to have live horns, we're going to have bass, we're going to have guitar. You know, the whole band is going to be live. We're going to do one set of Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Right.
So, a Motown stuff. And then the second set is going to be Diana Ross solo, which is quite different, but also really cool. You've got I'm Coming Out, you know. You know, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, really big tunes. So
yeah, and so very, very busy then, very busy. So, and I'm going to talk to you a lot more about those projects later on. But right now, I'm going to have a short break. So we're going to play a new track, actually. Well, actually, it's an old track, but it's been remade lately. So it's Duran Duran and New Moon and Monday, but this is a slightly updated, this is an updated version.
Yeah.
So you're talking about nearly over 40 years ago. Can you believe that?
It wasn't 40. Oh,
40 years, 1980s. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Wow.
How time's flown. So this is the new version of New Moon and Monday. See what you think.
Yeah.
You shake up the picture, the lizard mixture, with your dance on the eventide. You got me coming up with answers, all of which I deny. I said it again, but could I please rephrase it? Maybe I can catch you right. I couldn't really put it much plainer, but I'll wait till you decide. In both worlds, a smile that you can't disguise. And every minute I keep finding clues that you leave behind. Spamming from these reminders as if I forget.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. And I get that fever feeling when Sheffield Live is on the air. Hi, I'm Kelly Walker and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Les plus beaux spectacles du monde. Et toi, tu connais ça, hein? Allons voir le mariage. Allons voir.
Well, it would help if I actually turned that off, wouldn't it? I mean, we do have a few mistakes here live under the air, ladies and gentlemen. I should have turned that off. Why did I not turn that off? So that kind of spoilt my moment a little bit. But oh, well, that's live, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us late now in the show, we have Brad Mitchell in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody.
So we're going to talk a lot about Queen now. So... And I've got to ask Brad, I mean, Queen is such a legendary band. And, you know, it's one of those bands that has always been stuck out from the 1970s. And you still can't beat this band. No matter what you can, no matter what anybody tries to do, nobody can beat Queen, as far as I'm concerned. And, I mean, the magic that Freddie Mercury had to say... He's had two different tones to his voice. Like,
Interesting. I see, like, what you're saying, yeah.
He's got a rock voice,
yeah.
But he's also got an operatic tone to it as
true.
Well.
Yeah.
So it's like, he can, to combine rock and opera,
mm-hmm.
you would never have thought that those two would mix, would you?
He was a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Chris, absolutely. But, just like, you've seen these reaction videos on YouTube probably of singing teachers.
Yes.
You know, breaking down his vocal technique. And yeah. they can do it to a certain point, but then they go, well, it shouldn't be possible that he can do that and that. That well, you know, from just pure perseverance. I'm sure he had some help along the way, but when they did the first album, you know, Queen self-titled, he was not happy with that at all. I don't know if you know that, but he really did not like his voice on that at all. And then when you see the second album, that's Freddie. He's gone through, whether he had teaching in that point, I've no idea, but that's the voice that we all know is the voice of Queen 2.
Yes.
And
I mean, I've watched the film Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, if you ever watch the film, I recommend going and seeing it if you're a massive Queen fan.
If you're a music fan, yeah. If you go and see it. If you're a Queen fan, it's even better.
Yes.
You know, they really did. Yeah, it was a really good film. I watched it twice in the cinema.
I mean, you know, I've got to say this. I mean, I don't know if you actually know this, but, you know, it wasn't actually Rami Malek who was originally going to play Freddie Mercury. You know, and I think it would have been interesting what he would have done, really. And I think because it was Sacha Baron Cohen from Borat fame who was going to be...
I would have liked to have seen that. I think the problem, what they were... going to face was that they didn't want it to be comedic,
yes.
Which is all he's really done.
Yes, and I mean, it would have been interesting because, I mean, I don't think, like you say, you don't want it to be too comedic, but I think they were trying to go for like a 15, 18 age version of a film. So, because he has had quite a turbulent life. I think it would have been interesting to see where it would have gone with Sacha Baron Cohen.
Now that would have been very interesting for the true picture of probably what went on. It would have been better, but
yeah.
I think they wanted the filmmakers wanted a PG film, which would be a family friendly film. In some parts, obviously, there is some drug use in there and whatnot, it has to be there because that's what his life was like. But Rami Malek did a really good job. He just didn't quite do the masculinity of Freddie quite enough for me because he was quite, he was a homosexual man, yes.
Yes.
You know, he was, but in no way, shape or form, you know, was this man, I don't know, the way Rami Malek did it was a little bit, soft.
I get what you mean, yeah. I've got to say, I mean, but I can't see anybody else taking it now.
No.
And you know what? I don't think, well, I hope they don't do this, and I don't mean it to be in a negative way. I hope we don't do a sequel to it, because I think it ended perfectly at the Wembley Arena.
Mm.
Well, I've spoiled it now, haven't I? I'm sorry. Spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't mean to spoil it, but I think it ended as...
Well, it bookends, doesn't it? It starts and ends with that, so I don't think it's too much of a spoiler.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And, I mean, you don't want to find out what happens after that all the way up to Days of Our Lives. I mean,
because
when you watched... I mean, when we watched the last video of Days of Our Lives, these are the days of our lives.
He looked so ill, didn't he? Bless him.
He was so frail, wasn't he?
He did. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
It was so
a great song.
It was a great song. And but I've got to ask Phil Brad, I mean, other than Freddie Mercury, and I mean, there's been other, like, singers, like Adam Lambert, amongst others.
Mm.
I mean, what's your views on them? I mean, I don't want to be too controversial, but I want to ask, what's your opinion on them?
So there was Adam Lambert, weren't there? And well, there was somebody else, weren't there, as well?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly who it was.
So in my opinion, there was one that did it as completely as himself.
Paul Rogers.
And he did it more like, Paul Rogers did it more like Freddie. He tried to kind of do it like Freddie did it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was better, in my opinion, than Adam Lambert. Adam Lambert did it as himself. So, in my opinion, I would have preferred Paul Rogers. But, you know, from the outside point of view, they were completely different. Adam Lambert, it would be amazing to see both of them.
Sure.
But Adam Lambert did it as Adam Lambert.
But I've got to say, I mean,
we're not suggesting at all that it's...
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're both great singers, don't get me wrong. Absolutely. You know, they're absolutely phenomenal singers. I just wanted to hear what you think about them with Queen, that was all.
Yeah, because, you know, they wanted to carry on what we were doing, you know. They don't particularly like tribute bands, as you could imagine,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, but and they wanted to do it themselves and carry on, and they needed someone to do that, someone with a powerful voice.
Yes.
So, you know, all to them. I mean, I'd love to go and see Brian May play live. That'd be amazing, because he's still got it, mate. I mean, he's incredible. That'd be amazing to watch him. So.
And you know, I mean, there's so many bands that I would love to have gone and seen. Unfortunately, I can't see, well, there's some that I can't see right now. I mean, I would love to have gone and seen Michael Jackson, Prince, Freddie Mercury. I would love to have gone and seen them. And
it's a good list.
You know, there's so many on the list. I mean, even Duran Duran, I would love to see Duran Duran. But, I've got to say, also, Sheffield's own as well, Human League. I would love to see Human League.
Oh, good. Yeah, nice.
So,
nice.
I mean, they're classic Sheffield as well. And
sound is proper Sheffield, isn't it?
Yeah. And I want to talk about, you know, because you've got an upcoming tour. You've got an upcoming show. So tell us a bit more about the show.
So it's our Queen tribute band. We're called Queen Rhapsody. And it's going to be taking place at the Sheffield Wednesday Stadium at the 1867 Lounge. So they've got a beautiful little room. It's, as you go into the main entrance, the main reception, it's just on your left. It's a really nice little place. They do food and things like that, but we're not putting food on for this event. We're putting on the event, you know, on his own. We're selling tickets on Skiddle. The ticket link is available if you type in Queen Rhapsody. At Sheffield Wednesday, it'll come up really easy. Tickets are £22, and it's a standing gig. There will be some seats available if you do need to sit, but it is a predominantly standing gig. So, but you know, it's a new venture. They've got a new events team. They contacted us and said, you want to put on more rock bands, more things like this. You know, we're doing comedy nights and things like that, but we want some real music here.
Sure.
So that's what we're doing, and you know, this obviously plugging the show a little bit, but come down, you know, it's going to be a good band, because I don't like to brag, but we're a good band, and you're going to hear that, and you know, we are decent.
And I can definitely say I can definitely attest to that, because I've been to see you quite a few times, so I can definitely say that. So, but I mean, I've got to say, ask you as well. I mean,
yeah.
How many tickets are available? Do you know what the capacity is?
I think it's a 250 capacity. So it's a decent sized room, you know, not too big, not too small. So yeah, tickets are selling fast. So we're hoping to get a nice group in there. Obviously, it's not a pub and it's not a venue that's known. So you know, that's slightly different for us. We're going to do another flyer drop tomorrow. Put some more posts up around Hillsborough and areas and that'll be that. And then we'll just. We'll wait for the gig, which is on the 12th of October.
Yeah.
As I say, at Sheffield Wednesday Stadium, 1867 Lounge.
And, I mean, other than Sheffield Wednesday Stadium, I mean, where else will you be touring? Are you going to be touring around the country?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, in December we've got a few gigs, not necessarily like ticket gigs, more like agency gigs. The first real big gig that we'll be doing for the tour will start next year on February the 1st, where we'll be playing Gala Shields Volunteer Hall all the way up in the Scottish borders.
Right, wow.
You know, it's not a local gig, this, you know, we travel all over the country. That's more of, I think it's 500 capacity, Gala Shields Hall, so that's more like a theatre.
Yeah, you know. I mean, also, I've seen you perform at festivals as well. And I mean, to say that... The amount of people that come round to see you, I mean, the audience that come to see you in festivals, it's absolutely incredible.
So come to meet us, like, after. Yeah. Well, they want pictures, they want to, you know, they want to say, well, you know, because we really try and make the sound like Queen.
You know,
we put all this effort into doing it. You know, we're not doing it like we want to do it. Yeah. I play the drums as close to Roger Taylor did as possible. I'll listen to him regularly and go, oh, I like that little bit, what he does there. I'm going to add that in next week, you know.
Yeah.
So you're always pushing yourself to make it better and better and better.
And to say, Ben, I mean, you've got a special treat for us right now, and I'm going to play it now, but I want you to bring it in for me. So can you bring in the song for me, please?
I can indeed. So this is Queen Rhapsody playing Somebody to Love live, and this is a live recording off the mixing desk, so I hope you enjoy it. Here we go.
I'm let's do it. Are you ready to sing with me? All right, do this after me. Find me somebody to love. Do it. Love, sing it. Find me somebody's love. Now you find me somebody's love. Do it. Find me somebody to love.
Wow, 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 wow. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, you've just captured the magic of Queen, haven't you? I mean, that is unbelievable, Brad. I mean, I've got to say this.
Thank you so much.
I've got to say, though, Brad, I mean, I've got to say, there's that many tribute bands.
Oh, yeah, there is.
And
there is, there is.
Some of them don't quite capture.
No.
That magic of Queen.
No. Absolutely.
And, you know, and I've got to say, I mean, you know how to put on a show, and I've seen you play so many times. And
yeah. That's the thing. I think, you know, you can only get so much from that recording. You know, you record the majority of the Queen tribute bands. I don't want to be dissing them, but they won't quite, you won't quite be able to hear that, you know,
sure.
That Queen sound as much.
Yeah.
I think we've done a pretty good job there, and Queen is really hard to pull
and
off.
And it is, and I mean, I think you are, honestly, the closest to the original thing. You are quite close to that. And
yeah, actually the original sound, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
thank you, mate. Thank
and I've
you.
Got to say, it's very hot, but it's also, it's very, very hard to get that original sound, like you said,
yes.
Because you've got to really know your stuff and really work at it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a, you know, funnily enough, you won't believe we don't even practice, but what we do, you know, we're all, you know, good musicians. We all have done us homework, as
yes.
You've just said. You know, you put the time in, you listen to the tracks, you go, this is what I want to put into it. And the, you know, the band's been going for that long, you don't need to rehearse anymore. We do
exactly.
Enough gigs to, you know, to keep it ticking over. But as you say, it's getting that Queen sound, and you don't want to slip away from that as well, because
sure.
You can, you know, we aren't Queen.
Yes,
funnily
yeah,
enough.
Yeah.
So
yes.
We're going to, you know, we've got our own styles of playing. So you've got to not let that kind of drift in.
Yeah.
You got to go, no, that's how you would do it. You got to do it how Brian, how Freddie, how Roger, how John would do it.
Yes.
You know, the missing member, John Deacon, who nobody knows about, the bass player.
Yeah. No, I think everybody knows John Deacon, but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's just a... like you said, I mean, you're obviously not going to get the original version, but you're going to get it as close to what you can get. Because you're never going to get the original, unfortunately. You know,
But I think my point was from saying that, you know, you can hear what we sound like. You can't grasp what that is like live because you've got the sound hitting you. You've got Gary, our Freddie, you know, putting on a great performance. He does all the moves. He's, you know, he's on the piano. Yeah, yeah. He's getting you to sing along. You know, it grabs your attention. You can't look away from, you know. And then you've got Brian May, James Marsh.
Yeah.
He's absolutely incredible. You know, he always comes to the front of the stage when he's playing the solos. And, you know, so, it's visually grabbing too. You know, you can get so much from hearing that. And we're really glad we've got those recordings because I think it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
But you've got to come and see it live to really get, you know, the full.
And I've got to say, I recommend seeing it live. So, I mean, again, I want to talk about how people can get tickets. So tell us about how people can, where can people go? Can you get physical copies? I mean, if people don't have access to like webs, to the internet or websites, how can people get a copy?
Yeah, so please, if you've not got access to email like that, please call up Sheffield Wednesday Football Club and they will sort it out for you. We're going to have a guest list on the door. So, you know, they will be able to sort out, you know, the payment. You know, they'll either get you to contact us or things like that. We won't have any physical tickets because mainly people, you know, just do it online these days. So it's on Skiddle. You know, it's really easy to buy them and then, you know, we'll just check your digital ticket on the door.
Right.
But as I say, we're not going to have any actual physical tickets, but if you don't have the email, just please contact the venue and we'll sort it out for you.
Okay, thank you very much. And we've also got one more track for you, which we're going to play later on. However, I want to talk about other projects as well, because you are currently working with Lena and the Lions.
Yes, I am. Yes.
So you've got a new album coming out.
Yep.
So tell us about that. Tell us about the new album.
So the album is called The Third Kind. It's completely original, written by Carolina. Lena.
As Lena and the Lions.
Yeah, Lena and the Lions. That's her full name. And, you know, it's still got that 80s sound, the 80s synths, you know, but it's got, you know, some decent distorted guitar in there as well. You know, and basically what I've been involved with those guys for a long, long time.
Sure.
And they asked me, you know, would you like to record the album? Because on the previous albums it's all been done digitally.
Yeah.
We've not had drums on the actual album. We've just done them live.
Yes.
So when we play live, it's obviously live drums.
And I've got to say as well, no, Brad, because, I mean, I've also looked on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and all that, and you've got quite a following, I've got to say. I mean, you're talking about over 6,000 people who are following you on Instagram. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of work being put into that. You know, we had a really big social media campaign go out where we made a load of videos doing covers. You know, short covers. You know, because that's the way these days. You know, you just want a quick. You know, you don't want to. You know, people don't want to sit through a 2-3 minute video anymore. They want it to be 30, 40 seconds. You know, so. That's what we did.
And I also remember, I mean, I'm talking about a couple of years ago now, but you were also on the page of the Star as well. I mean, and I remember that because you were playing at the Sheffield, not Sheffield, sorry, HMV Meadowhall, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And they were promoting you. And I've got to say, I mean, to get that kind of publicity.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And, you know, that was, you know, the way to do it is just... It's just do your thing, but just do it well. People will notice. You know, you don't... obviously contact them as well, but get them to do an interview with you. You know, it's not... You know, of course, we got almost free advertising out of it, but the idea that we were doing the HMV gigs again, because, believe it or not, it's not the first time it's happened. You know, they used to do this a lot back in the day, but they stopped it and they've started it up again. So, really cool idea. You know, record store... You know, new up and coming bands.
Yeah.
You know, we took in a stage. We took PA in, you know. We didn't do it lightly, you know. So yeah, it was, you know, it was a big show.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got to ask as well. I mean, what were the main influences for Leaning on the Lions? I mean, you say it's 80s synth,
yeah.
I mean, what was the main band what inspired Leaning on the Lions? Do you actually know? Or
no, I don't, because I've not actually written the songs. But I mean, I do know some of the influences of, you know, a lot of 80s music. Sting is a big influence of Lena.
Right. Sting of the Police, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but she's so individual, it's really hard to pinpoint. Like, you have to listen to the stuff. Like, you'll know what I mean if you listen to it. Yes, I can say 80s sound, but then it's just Lena.
It is.
Which is why it's so cool, you know.
I mean, I've heard some cracking songs from her. And, you know, as a band, I mean, she is fantastic. And I've got to say,
and a stage presence, mate. You know,
stage presence as well. I mean, I could definitely hear a lot of Human League vibes. And I've got to say, I'm a massive fan of Human League.
Yes,
I could definitely tell that's there. But there's like other vibes as well. I mean, I would say, like, because she's a very own independent person as well. So she can sing. I mean, she can definitely sing. I can say.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've got to say, I wish you the best of luck on your third album. I mean, so when is the third album released?
It should be released this year. I mean, I did the tracking for it at the beginning of this year. So I'm hoping by the end of this year. I don't know though. Don't know, because as I say, I am involved, but I'm just a drummer in this project, you know. I'm in no way involved in the organising of the band.
Sure, of course, and I'm sure we'll get you back in when the album does release.
Absolutely, so, Chris. Absolutely, and we'll play some of the stuff. Hopefully, yeah.
Oh, definitely. We will definitely play some
great.
Of the stuff, and
we'll get the other members in if we can. Yeah,
you'll say we'll definitely get the other members in as well. So, anyway, we're gonna go back to the Queen tribute band now. So we've got one more special track for you. So tell us again, Brad, take it away, tell us what the song is.
So you're going to be listening to, again, Queen Rhapsody playing Killer Queen live at a show, and this is a stream off the mixing desk again, so hope we enjoy it.
Killer Queen! She keeps her money shining in a pretty cabinet. Let them make it, she said. Just like Mary Antoinette, Billy Remedy for Bruce Java King. Well, anytime that everything she needs can be climbed. Caviar, cigarettes, lover, has to make up. Extraordinary, she's a killer queen. Gone by gelatin, dynamite with a laser beam. Same address, can't conversation. Spoke just like a baroness. Met a man from China. Went on, I guess you're mine. Went on, I guess you're mine. Knew if you died when I lied. Perfume came naturally from Paris. Because you're gonna get less. It's sticky with sample size. She's a killer queen. We'll be right back.
The boy stood on the burning deck, but my name is Martin Simpson, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM and SheffieldLive.org, number one for Sheffield music.
Never know how much I love you, never know how much I care. And I get that fever feeling when Sheffield Live is on the air. Hi, I'm Kelly Walker and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
So, and that was Killer Queen by Queen. I mean, again, fantastic. Absolute legend. Brilliant band. And again, if you want to see a proper tribute band to Queen, go and see.
Yeah, so it's Queen Rhapsody, and we're playing at Sheffield Wednesday 1867 Lounge on the 12th of October. Tickets are £22. I hope you come down. Tickets available on Skiddle. If you can't get access to that, please call the venue and we'll sort you out, and I hope to see you down there.
Okay, and we're coming near to the end of the show now. I mean, how time flies. It's nearly 10 to 1, and you've got one more thing you want to talk about. You want to talk about I'm In Love With My Car.
Yes, so it's a little bit of an oddball track. However, it is a lead, it's the drummer singing the lead song. And the reason that it came to mind is because we play it after Killer Queen, which we've just played then.
Yeah.
And it gives, you know, gives me the chance to scream my guts out and play a song which is, you know, take your time, go and have a listen to it, you'll see what I mean. It's an odd song, but the audience always love it because, you know, Freddie goes off, has a quick costume change, comes back on, gives me a chance to have a bit of the limelight for a moment, you know, and do a little drum solo. So yeah, I'm In Love With My Car. What a tune.
And you know what? There's a certain story about I'm In Love With My Car, which is quite interesting, actually, if you actually watch the film. Because if I remember right, when we went into the studio to meet with the producers and all that,
yeah,
they produced Bohemian Rhapsody, didn't they? They made Bohemian Rhapsody. And when they sent it off to this company,
yeah,
I can't remember who it was. It was who Mike Myers played in the film.
Yep.
And they said it was 6 minutes too long.
6 minutes, yeah.
Six minutes was too long. And he says, we're going to play I'm In Love With My Car, and that's going to be their hit single.
Just swallow that in for a moment. They were going to release I'm In Love With My Car as a single instead of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Imagine that. I mean, I could not imagine not Bohemian Rhapsody.
That would have been a serious thorn in the side of Queen's progression.
But you know what? It makes you wonder, well, doesn't it? It makes you wonder, what if?
There's so many variables to music, Chris. You know, what if they didn't? You know, if they went, actually, no, we're not going to play Bohemian Rhapsody. It's too long. It's never getting played.
You know, it's amazing what the future holds, isn't it? I mean, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, and like you say, but you're thinking, what if?
Oh, we're getting very deep here, Chris.
You know, good one, man. Good one.
Sorry.
Anyway,
I do apologise.
So anyway, we're going to have to end the show here now. So we're going to play our last track of the day, and we're going to play Elton John, Tiny Dancer.
Hot sunny day today in Southern California. Temperature is 84 degrees for downtown Los Angeles.
I can do my thing. You can do your thing.
They're fighting crime the hard way.
And on your right is Hollywood Boulevard.
It's Tango Tuesday.
dancing in the sand. Now she's in me, always with me, tiny dancer in my hand. Tickets I've forgotten, turning back, she just laughs. The boulevard is not that bad. Piano man, he makes a stand in their auditorium.
But your love is